We are holding on the second line of Chacham Ralph. Okay, so we've been discussing, the Mishnah mentioned the five shades of blood that make a woman chame, and we were in the middle of discussing, we said the first one was Ezo Odrim, we said what is red, Kedam Hamaka, like the blood of a wound, and we had several different definitions of Amiroim, what exactly that means. The first blood of Shechita, or the blood of a bird which is Chaya, and we said we weren't sure whether it means alive or healthy, like the blood of a head louse. Like the blood.
What are we trying to define?
Because we're trying to define the exact shade of red. Just a second, we're going to see there's actually a difference. The last one we said, Reb Nachman had said that it's like the blood of bloodletting. The blood that's extracted during bloodletting is the color of blood we're talking about. So the Gemara tells a story in that connection. Amemer and Mazutra and Rav Ashi have a Yasvi Kame Oka. Amemer and Mazutra and Rav Ashi were sitting in front of a bloodletter. So the bloodletter started by taking one karna of blood from a maimer. Karna literally means a horn. So either it means they used the horn sort of like cupping glasses in the olden days to extract the blood, or it means they used it like a test tube nowadays to put the blood into. Whatever it is, he took out a quantity of blood. Chazye, Ameima took a look at the blood that was in this container, Omalahu, and he says to the other Chachamim who were sitting there, you should know, Odom Tan Kihai, the Odom that we're talking about in our Mishnah, is exactly this shape. So now you know. They took blood from Ameima, and he comments from Ameima, and Ameima comments to the other Chachamim who are sitting there that take a look at this blood and memorize this color. This is the exact shade that the Mishnah is talking about. However, the bloodletter took the blood in those days, I don't know. Whatever. Then Shakli Layachriti. Then they took another karna full of blood, Omalahu, and Ameima looks at that and says, Ishtani, it's actually a little bit different. It's not quite the same shade, it's a slightly different shade. Omer Ravashi, so Ravashi says, going on now, consider, for example, what should I do? What about me? The lawyer Dina Ben Hailai, I can't see a difference between one and the other. To me, they both look the exact same. In that case, I better not be looking at blood to determine whether it's tamei or tahor, because obviously I don't have the ability that Ameima does to be able to see that fine difference in shape. So there we see. This is what I was talking about yesterday, that in general, you know, as time went on, we lost the ability to be able to distinguish. That's the point. In other words, Rav Ashi already is saying, Rav Ashi, one of the last Amoroyim, says that he doesn't, and then we see already by the time. Okay, but it's not just a physical ability. You also, I mean, ultimately, you have to have a Rebbe teaches it to his Talmud, right? I mean, then in a color wheel. The point being, therefore, Rav Ashi couldn't, and that means he couldn't teach his Talmud. That's the point, in other words. So eventually, that's what we mean by we lost the ability, and therefore, that's what I was saying yesterday, that in general, the poskim nowadays, well, not just nowadays, going all the way back already to the times of the Goyim, will be mekame any blood that has a tinge of red. Okay. Then we said, the next one in the Mishnah, we said, was shocher kecheres. We said, black like cheres. The Omer Rabbi Barabona, cheres sh'omer dioi. Hello? The word cheres that we're saying in the Mishnah means ink. Tanya nami hochi. In fact, we learn like that in a Braisa. Shocher kecheres, like it said in the Mishnah, that black means the black of cheres. The shocher sh'omer dioi. And the black we're talking about is the black of ink. So the question is, Valema Dioi, so why not just say straight out ink? Why mention cheres first? Again, we have to clarify, we don't mean cheres with a samach, meaning earthenware. Cheres, they're actually defined before on the Mishnah as one of the components of ink, but why not just say ink straight out? The answer is, Iyama Dioi, yes, but if we use the word Dioi, have amina kipach hosted in yourself, then we could mistakenly mean that it means the lighter part of the dough, of the ink. When you have ink in a container, so you take cheres, which is the material for the ink. You dissolve it in water.
Cheres
is samach as earthenware. No, so you have the Rambam defines based on various gemaras that basically it's a mixture of soot, where more or less pure carbon, and a couple of other ingredients that give it some body and whatever, and then you make a hard thing out of it, and then you soak it in water, and it dissolves in the water, and then that's your ink. So cheres is the solid stuff which then you dissolve in water.
What is the color?
We said anything about red. We're talking about black.
Black.
Yeah. chocolate, so it's solid black. So therefore, so the point is, if the Mishnah and the Braita use the word diodo, then you wouldn't realize it means the blacker part of the ink. Like this, when you have the ink dissolved in water, if it sits in the container a while, then the ink, the actual cheres, the actual suspension in the water, starts settling out to the bottom, and then the top is clearer. It's not quite a dark black. So that you would think that's the color it means. Kamash Malan. Therefore, instead they use the word cheres ki charusa didyusa. It has to be like the actual dough. It has not the actual joy, the actual components of the ink itself. The solid thing which is then dissolved in water to make ink. That stuff is called cheres. Because tefillin can, first of all, technically, actually, halacha moshe Sinai is that only the ritzuris have to be black, not even the batim. The fact that we color the batim black is technically only a minhag. But besides that, also, the batim, if I remember correctly, can be any color. But in any case, that's fine. Okay, the fact is, you use some kind of ink like that. But the point is, we want to stress that we don't mean the ink after it's dissolved in water. The watery part is not quite so black. We mean the solid part of the ink. Okay. Which brings us to the question. Do we mean that you check it, that you check the color of the blood against wet ink, or the abeshter, or against dry ink? So in other words, like this, you have, well, that's the question. In other words, like this, you have, okay, when you're mixing it, okay, you can have, when it sits in a container a while, then it starts settling out, and then the top is not so dark anymore, and that's why we stress by the word charusa. But now, though, doesn't mean you compare it against, like, right after you've taken with the ink and written with it on parchment, it's still wet, or do you wait until it's dry, and then, or do you wait until it's dry, and only then do you test against, do you check against it? So Toshma, did Rav Ami poly quote didyusa or bodhisva? We see that Rav Ami would break off a piece of diyoy, a piece of the solid thing, and he would check blood against it. So we see that you're supposed to check against the dry stuff. So again, the Rambam describes, in Yad Chazaka, in Hilchos Tefillin, the Rambam describes a recipe for ink. It involves soot, it involves honey to give it a little bit of body, and it involves a couple of other ingredients as well. He says what you do is you dissolve it in water, and that makes
the ink that you would use for tefillin and sifrei Torah and mezuzos.
One point is that kind of ink can be erased. Yeah, here, the Rambam describes. So, okay, you take soot from, for example, from an oil lamp or a lamp that was burning tar or wax or what have you. You mix it with some sap from a tree and a little bit of honey, and you mix it and you make it, you dry it out until it becomes like dry wafers. And then you put it away, and when you want to write, then you dunk it in liquid that comes out of gallnuts, which is a certain kind of growth on trees. The material that you just use, the soot and whatever, makes it solid black.
So Tosfos actually
points out briefly over here, and in much more detail in other places in Shas, Tosfos discusses there is a different recipe for ink, which is more commonly used nowadays by sofrim, which the point is this ink that we're describing can be erased. So there's a different kind of ink, which sofrim more commonly use nowadays, where the base of it is iron, it is iron sulfate, and then they mix a couple of other ingredients in it with a gunk. Yeah, exactly. So they mix in a couple of other ingredients, I forget what they are exactly, and whatever, it also makes a solid black. One difference actually is that ink, It is solid black, and it is perfectly kosher. One difference is you can't erase it. If you make a mistake, you have to wait till it dries and then scrape it away. But another difference is that kind of ink tends to rust eventually because of the iron. So you can sometimes find old turns reddish. So you actually find sometimes old Sifrei Torah where some of the letters are turning reddish for that reason. Nowadays, they put various stabilizers in it to keep it from oxidizing, whatever. Anyway, the bottom line is, okay. Anyway, the recipe for ink that I'm not mentioned, which apparently is what they usually use in the time of the Gemara, involved dry wafer-like things of black, of solid black, and then you would dunk them in May Eftim, and that would give you your actual liquid ink to write in. So we see that Ami would break off a piece of that to check against the dry ink.
not when it's moist. Check, yeah, there's always blood of nidia. If a woman brought him a stain that was black, he would take, he would break off a piece of ink wafer and check against it and see if it compares. Amud of Yehuda Amashmol. Kikir, let's talk about different kinds of black. If the black of the stain that we're taking a look at is like the color of black wax, or Rashi says another possible kir can mean wax. Another explanation, Rashi says is kir is the name of some kind of herb, which is dark black, kidyoi, or if the color is like ink, v'cheinav, or if it's like a black, or if it's like a black grape, tmeya, then the woman is tamei, v'zuhi shishaninu omish mikan tmeya. These are examples. The Mishnah had mentioned that if the color is darker, omoik, you omoik means deeper, so according to most of the Mephoshim, it means darker than the examples we mentioned in the Mishnah, then it's tamei. So in other words, if it's the color of ink or even darker than that. Now you have some of the, a couple of Yachronim point out on the face of it, what do you mean dioi? So that's the question. We just said dioi before is the actual, therefore dioi itself is the base color. So how are we listing over here dioi as being darker? So one possibility is you're talking about moist versus, you're talking about moist ink versus dry ink. No, we said you're supposed to check against the use, you check against dry ink. But the point is, according to that way of looking at it, moist ink might be even darker than that. So you can't check only against dark ink. You can't check only against moist ink, because then if you find it lighter than that, you're going to inappropriately declare it tamei where it might not be, where you might inappropriately declare it tahor where it's not. But if you do find, but if it is in fact as dark as wet ink, then it's also tamei. That's one answer.
So blood color.
Yeah, we said yesterday that blood can turn black sometimes. Yeah. Amar Abulazar, on the other hand, Rabbi Elazar says kizayis, if the stain is black like a black olive, kezefes, or like tar, v'cha'oriv, or like a raisin, tahor, then it's actually tahor, v'zuhi shishaninu. These are examples of what we say in the Mishnah, deham mikan tahor. A black olive, a black tar, or a black root. So then it would be tahor because v'zuhi shishaninu. Like we said in the Mishnah, deham mikan tahor. If the color is lighter than black of ink, then it's tahor. These are examples where they're lighter. The Rizpah points out what it is actually these are glossy. These are glossy black. So therefore, they don't look quite as black as flat black, like we were talking before about the ink. Well, the usual rule applies. If we have what to be toilet, if we found a kesem, if we found a kesem on her clothing, we learned about this briefly before. We're going to learn much more in the ninth parak. That if we have what to be toilet, and if we have something else to attribute it to, for example, she was in a schlach pose or whatever, then fine. But we're talking. Well, fine. Okay, so that's what we're going to talk about, the details of when we can be tola and when not. But the point is also, for example, let's say she did a bedikah and it came out with black stuff on it. Same idea, in other words, you're saying. No, that doesn't matter, though. The point is, we said there's only five colors. So, for example, in principle, if the bedikah cloth came out green or yellow or what have you, then it wouldn't, or then it would be tahor. Again, nowadays, we don't necessarily have the expertise to be able to tell all the shapes. Right. Yeah, right. We talked yesterday, we have the Sefer HaChinuch wants to say that only these shades come from the uterus. Anything else would come of necessity comes from some other part of her body. The Rambam seems to say that not. The Rambam seems to say that just the Torah says that some of them are Tomei and some of them are Tahor, and that's that. Okay, fine. Ula Omar. Ula has a whole different definition of the black that we're talking about, or maybe it amounts to the same thing. Kilavusha Siva. Ula says it's like the garments of Siva. Siva is the name of a place. They make black clothing over there. So Ula says the black color, I don't know, it's a place in Bubble, I guess I have no idea. Whatever, the clothes they make there are the kind of black we're talking about. So the Gemara tells a story in that connection. Ula Ikula Pumbedisa, one time Ula was visiting Pumbedisa, Chazila Utaya, he saw a certain Arab merchant, the Lavush Labusha Uchma, this Arab merchant was wearing black clothing. Uchma is black, yeah. Omalu. I don't know, it's an Aramaic word, it means black. Omalahu, so Ula tells the Talmidim who were with him, Shocho Ditznan Kihai. You should know, the black that we're mentioning in the Mishnah is like that black piece of clothing that this Arab is wearing. Well, everybody was eager to get a piece of it so that they have a sample to be able to check blood again. Motu mine purta purta, so they start ripping off little pieces of it. Yahubei Arame Azuzi, they wound up paying the Arab for the humiliation 400 zuz, which is a huge amount of money, but they were all so eager to get pieces of it so they would have samples to be able to check blood again. Yeah, so they started ripping it off.
Maybe they asked him and they stored it, maybe they stored it, maybe they asked him and then like before he could answer. Whatever. The point is they paid him a huge amount for yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Another
two or three
other ones. Well, maybe. Okay. Okay. Another answer, Rabbi Yochanan Amar. Rabbi Yochanan has another definition of the shachar of our Mishnah. He says, Elu Kalim ha ulayorin ha boin mimdinas yam. It refers to the clothes of ulayorin that come from overseas. Rashi has two explanations of ulayorin. One is that it means bathhouse attendants. They used to wear black clothing, I guess. And the other one is that ulayorin is the name of a place. Anyway. So the question is, so are you telling me that these clothes of Ulyorin are black? But we find that Rabbi Yanai says to his children before he passed away, Bonai, he says, my children, don't bury me in black clothes, in black tachrichin, or in white tachrichin. Now, nowadays, of course, we don't do that. We do bury in white tachrichin. But he's saying specifically that he doesn't want either one. Why? Shorim, I don't want to be in black tachrichin, shema ezke, because I might have the schos, the eya ke'evo, ka'ovo ben achasonim. And then I'm going to be dressed in black, and meanwhile, all the other tzaddikim over there are going to be dressed in white, which is simcha dikah clothing, and I'm going to be like a mourner among the happy people, among the chasanim. In other words, I might be in Gan Eden. I'm going to be wearing black. Well, in those days, yeah, the festive clothing usually was white. Nowadays, on Shabbos and Yom Tov, we usually wear black. But in those days, it was more common. I don't know. It's a good question. I mean, you even find, for example, the Tzemach Tzedek. Even as late as the Tzemach Tzedek, they wore white clothes on Shabbos. The famous portrait of the Tzemach Tzedek was actually painted by, was actually a goy peeked in the window on Shabbos when the Tzemach Tzedek was saying a mimer and then memorized what the Tzemach Tzedek looked like and went home and drew the picture. That's why the Tzemach Tzedek is dressed in white in that picture. Yeah. Anyway, the point is, yeah, the goy peeked in through the window on Shabbos. Okay, anyway. So the point is, Rabbi Yanai, because it's not that it wasn't going to stick for a fortune, he never time for that. Anyway, so Rabbi Yanai says, I don't want to be in black tachrichim, because if I'm Zoycha and I'm in Gan Eden, then I'm going to be like a mourner among happy people. Levonim, and I don't want to be in black, in white, Shemaloyes, because I might not have this post, I might not be in Gan Eden, the Eyek Chosin Bein Ha'Avelim, and then I'll be like a Chosin among the mourners. Now, how could it be Rabbi Yanai is wondering whether he might be in Gan Eden or Gehenim? So it's sort of like the famous thing that if we find that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is worried right before he passed away. I don't know where they're taking me. Are they taking me? There's two ways, and how you talking? These are great tzaddikim. How do they not? So one thing is in connection with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, there's actually an explanation in Chassidus that maybe it applies to Rabbi Yanai over here also. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, his entire life he was working on behalf of the Jewish people. So now he didn't necessarily have time to work on his own avodah, on his own nefesh, because he's so busy working for everybody else. So now, before he passes away, he's thinking, now I have to actually see, but where am I holding all this time? So maybe the same thing applies to Rabbi Yanai. I did see also another interesting explanation, though, which is, when a tzaddik goes to Gan Eden, there can be two possible ways he goes. He can go straight to Gan Eden, or he could go first pass through Gehenna, not that he's going to be suffering in Gehenna, just that he passes through there on his way to Gan Eden. You actually have a famous story, for example, where one part of it involves that the Bach, when he passed away, asked to be taken through Gehenna first on his way to Gan Eden, and therefore they cooled off Gehenna for some time before that, and that way he's able to save a lot of neshamas over there. Anyway, the point is, sort of, Yana might be saying, I know I'm going to go to Gan Eden, fine, but I'm going to go the direct route, or am I going to have to go past Gehenna? In the case of the Bach, in order to save neshamas over there, like this, they'd have to cool off Gehenna because. What do you mean? How could he save neshamas? Because he cooled it because he's a tzaddik, and he had the ability to. Who says Hashem didn't allow him? Hashem didn't allow him. Hashem would have said, no, you can't. Period. Okay. And that's where tzaddik is always looking out to try and then save as many Jews as possible. Okay. Anyway, whatever. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, let's say, for example, it can be, yeah, but the Bach has he can be Malamed's course on these people and be able to whatever. Anyway, the point is, according to that, Rabbi Yanai might be saying, maybe I'm going to go directly to Gan Eden, maybe I'm going to have to pass through Gehenna first, and in that case, I don't want to be wearing inappropriate clothing. Okay.
Would he be warm himself?
I don't know. I have no idea. Anyway, the point is, Ella... So therefore, Rabbi Yanai says to his children, what do I want you to bury me in? But Kalim Ulayorin, Abarimim Dinasayam. I want you to bury me in Kalim Ulayorin that come from overseas. So we see that Ulayorin clothes are not black, because he's telling them, don't dress me in black. Almalav Ochmininu. So we see they're not black. The answer is like Kasha, Hob Glimmer, Hob Basoda. Depends which kind of cloth we're talking about.
the kind that the Ula Yorit, glimmer means cloth. So listen, Hobbit glimmer means clothing. So for example, the clothing that Ula Yorin wear, or that comes from the place called Ula Yorin, are reddish or brownish or whatever. They're neither black nor white, they're an intermediate color. Hobbit Psoda, as opposed to, for example, the tablecloths that they use, like the tablecloths, the bed sheets or whatever, of Ula Yorin are in fact black. So when Rabbi Yechon is comparing the black of our Mishnah to Kalim Holy Yorin, he's not comparing. Rabbi Yana is telling his Talmidim, to his sons rather, to bury him in Holy Yorin clothing, meaning the clothing itself, which was neither white nor black. It was red or some other intermediate color like that. Rabbi Yechon, when he's talking about the black of our Mishnah, is talking about the black bed sheets or black tablecloths or whatever that comes from such places. Okay. Fine. Rabbi Yechon sort of means a table. Yeah. All of the various shades that we're mentioning in the Mishnah, you can only check them on top of a white cloth. So in other words, you take the sample of blood that's brought, the Rav takes the sample of blood that's brought to him, he puts it on a white cloth so it'll show up better, so the contrast will show up better, and then he checks whether it matches one of these colors that we mentioned in the Mishnah. But Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi says, the exception to that is the black one. That, you don't put it on top of a white cloth. Instead, you put it on top of a red cloth. Because then the distinction will show up better. So Omer Rabbi Yirmi Medifti, so Rabbi Yirmi Medifti says, it's actually not a machlok, it's a halotzlevi, ha-b'shachar, ha-b'shadram. Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi is talking about the black, that he says you do on top of a red background. The other one, the four shades of red that we mentioned in the Mishnah, you do on a white background. Maskipur, so there's no real machlokas. Maskipur Rabashi, but Rabashi questioned that. Ihochi lema Shmuel chus mishachar. Then Shmuel should have more clearly said, all of them except for black, you should only check on a white background. And then we'd be clear that he's not arguing. Shmuel is an amur, after all. The amuroyim are expected to specify what they're saying more than the tanoim. So if there was going to be an exception for black, he should have said so. Elo, Amar Ravashi, b'shachar gufri kamifnidi. So Ravashi says, actually, Rav Yehuda, Shmuel, and Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi are in fact arguing about black. Shmuel would say all of them, including black, you have to do on a white background. Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi is saying that black you do on a red background.
To check it,
yeah.
But if it's red blood.
No, that's the point. Black blood, and therefore Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi says, the contrast will show up better against the red background. Maybe, I don't know.
It's sharper.
No, but Rav Yitzchak is saying that no, the contrast will be sharper, and the Rav will be able to get a better sense of what actual shade of black it is if it's on a red background.
In the case of blood, maybe.
We're talking about blood. We're not talking about blood. Okay. Alma Ula. Kulam. So Ula says, here's a rule. Now, we have five shades of four shades of red or reddish, whatever, and one shade of black in our Mishnah. So Ula, so Oma Ula, Kulon, with all of these shades, Omoik Mikan Tomei, if the color is deeper, then it's Tomei. So for example, we said before about black, that for example, we said not just if it's the black of ink, but also for example, we said if it's the black of a black, a raven, we said the Tahar actually. We said, for example, a black grape, the black of a raven, we said it's tahor, is not as black, it's not as deep a black as the black of ink, that's what we were saying before. In particular, the Ritzvah says a raven is glossy, ink is not. But the point is, we gave examples over there. We said, for example, if it was black of a black grape, for example, then it would be tamei, because that's an example of deeper. And that's what Ola says, that's true of all the colors. If the color is deeper than the shade that we mentioned in the Mishnah, then it's also tamei. So for example, the first one in the Mishnah was red, and we had a few different definitions of what shade of red exactly. The last definition we had was it's the color of red that comes from bloodletting, and we have a story with Amemar, where he said only particular blood from bloodletting, whatever. The point is, let's say it's redder than that. Let's say it's a more saturated red than that. Then it would also be Tommy.
Where did we see the raven?
When did we talk about the raven? We said over here. Because that's the Torah. Sixth line of the wide lines. Yeah. So if it's darker, then it's Tommy. Dei ha-mikan Torah. But if it's a lighter color than that, then it's Torah kishachar. And Ula says, that's like we said with black, that for example, if it was the black of a raven, then it was tahor, because it's not as deep a black. So the same thing with all the other colors, if it's not as deep a color, then it's tahor. And by the way, you have Achronim talk about, you know, we had four shades of red. I mean, on the face of it, isn't a lighter shade of one equal to a darker shade of the other? But no, apparently not. Apparently the idea was, again, we don't have the expertise to tell, but apparently the idea was that there was some kind of discontinuity. You would have, there's a certain shade of red, and there are shades surrounding it, but then you would have, you know, there'd be a break between that and the next one. So, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I guess so. Okay. Okay. So, yeah. So the question is, Elamai Shnor Shachar Denoka. In that case, then why before did we say Dafka by black, that if it's darker, then if it's darker, it's Tomei, and if it's lighter, it's lighter than Tar? If Ula is saying it applies to all the different colors, then why did we mention it Dafka by black? The answer is, because by black there's more of a chiddush. You would have thought like this. We already had before at the beginning of the story, that Rav Chanina had said shachar adabu. The black blood is essentially really red blood. It started out as red, el shalaka, but the color deteriorated and turned to black. So therefore, hilka chafilu deyamikan nami lutame. You would think, so why does it have to be this deep black? Maybe even if it's a lighter black, it should also be tomei, because it's also the pastor started out as red blood. Kamash malon, that is the chiddush, that even by black, a lighter black is tomei. How much more so by the other colors, where there's no particular reason to think that the color fades or whatever.
We said shachar adam.
Shachar adam, where the black is essentially started out as red, el shalaka, but the color deteriorated. Or whatever, the blood deteriorated or whatever. We're going to talk about an Omid Bays a little bit about dry, about how much time. Yeah, we're going to have a case involving red. Yeah.
Okay.
So therefore, so by black there's a bigger chiddush that even a lighter black is tahor, even though you would think maybe the same thing. It started out red and then the color changed. But by the other colors, there's less of a chiddush, and therefore we didn't mention it before. Okay. Rab Ami Ba Abba Omar. Rab Ami Ba Abba though says differently. He says, "V'kulon omek mikan tomei." Rab Ami Ba Abba says no. All of them, yes, if the color is darker than it is tomei, deha mikan nami tomei. But also, if it's lighter than any of the shades, then it's also tomei. Chut mishachar, except for black. So according to him, there is a difference. In black, there's a difference between darker, which is tomei, and lighter, which is not. But all the other colors, he says, there's no difference. Darker or lighter than any of the four shades of red that we mentioned would also be tummy. So the question is, Elamaya Hanish Yura Drabanon. In that case, then why are the Drabanon bothering to give us specific shades of red in the Mishnah? If anyway, whether darker or lighter, it's still going to be tummy. The answer is, La Puki Deha De Deha. As opposed to, he would say that it means as opposed to where it's lighter even than lighter. In other words, if it's slightly lighter, then it would still be tummy, he says. But if it's very much lighter, then already it would be tougher. So let's say, again,
how much, very much, and how much
apparently this is something that Rav Ami Bar Abba knew, or the other Chachamim of his time knew. Like just like we said before at the top of the Amud, that, for example, even with blood and bloodletting, you have the fine difference that Amemar saw between the first tube full and then the second tube full. And we're going to have other examples later on in the Gemara. The same way we could say that there's a slightly lighter shade, like you said, measuring the wavelength or whatever. There's a slightly less saturated red, let's say, that would still be tomei. And then you have an even less saturated red than that, which would already be tomei.
How can a Rav remember all these things?
Eventually, you develop a sense of it. In fact, what Amnon says, all of this that we're mentioning, that you have to compare it against blood from bloodletting or a piece of ink or whatever, that Amnon writes, all of this only applies when a Rav is starting out, or like if he has an unfamiliar color, is brought to him for the first time. But eventually, you develop a sense of it, and then you're able to just look at it even without comparing it to anything, know, like we had before. Amema saw the tube of blood, and he immediately knew. And he immediately knew. Okay, but the point is that a person who has the ability to do that, and in earlier times they had more of that ability.
Then, he was the only one sighted.
I don't know, fine, he was the only one sighted. But
there's not so many people.
Okay, but we're going to have actually examples on Amud Beis as well. But whatever, the point is that we're going to have other people who were expert at being able to tell.
People?
We're going to see. The point is that there were such chachamim, and in earlier times, there were enough of them in earlier times. As time went on and as the Gullus went on, there became fewer and fewer until now there are none. Nevertheless, even nowadays, So fine, we don't test against the specific shades that are mentioned in the Mishnah, but the same principle still applies. Within the shade that nowadays we are metame or metar, a rav will, he doesn't have, always have to have a color chart in front of him. When he's starting out, he does, but eventually he develops a sense of, okay, this one is similar to one that I saw before, and I know I learned from my Rebbeim that it's Tame, and this one is not, and I can say it's Tame, that sort of thing. You're able to develop a sense of it after a while. Okay. Fine. The Ikadamri, another version of the last statement goes like this, Rami Ba'aba Omar, that Rami Ba'aba says, by the way, Rami is short for Reb Ami, so it's the same person, but Pashas. Anyway, so the first version, again, was Reb Ami Ba'aba had said that with black, there's a difference whether it's darker or lighter, but with all the other ones, it doesn't matter whether it's darker, whether it's a little darker or a little lighter. Either way, it's going to be Tomei. Now, in the second version of Rami Ba'aba, Amar, B'kulon Omek Mikan Tahor, Deha Mikan Tahor, just the opposite. With all of them, whether it's any lighter or any darker, it's Tahor, Chutz Mishachar, except for black, Olahochi Mahani Shira D'Rabbanon. Omek means deeper, yeah. And now we understand the shiurim that the Chachamim had to give in our Mishnah and in the Gemara of that we have this shade of red and that shade of red and whatever, because according to that last version, only that particular shade will make Otame, not one that's even slightly darker or slightly lighter.
Other than black, the darker the mortar and the lighter the mortame?
No, according to this last version, whether it's lighter or darker, right. So in other words, if it's deeper red, it would be tahor, and if it's lighter red, it would also be tahor.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it would also be tahor, except for black, where if it's darker black, then it's tame, and if it's lighter black, it's tahor. Okay. Bakapara, Omar. Bakapara has yet another opinion. The kolon omik mikan tame dea mikan tahor, with the four out of the five colors, three of the reds and one of the blacks, all of them, if it's darker, it's tome, deha mikan tahor, but if it's lighter, then it's tahor, chutz mi mezeg, except for, we mentioned in the Mishnah, one of them, the last one in the Mishnah, was diluted wine, where Bakapara says, sh'omuk mikan tahor, deha mikan tahor. That particular one, it has to be that exact shade, and if it's any darker or any lighter, then it's tahor. Deha means lighter. So the Rambam, by the way, passed things like Bakapara, and the Nosa Kalim on the Rambam give a couple of reasons why. Maybe because Bakapara is greater than all the Chacham we mentioned over here. Maybe because the Gemara mentions him last, as to imply Ba'alok is like him. Whatever. So that's how the Rambam passed things Ba'alok. So with black, and with three out of the four reds in the Mishnah, if it's darker than the examples that we had in the Mishnah, then it's Tomei. If it's lighter than the examples in the Mishnah, then it's Tahor. Except for Mezeg, where it has to be that exact shade, not darker and not lighter. If it's that exact shade, it's Tomei. And if it's any lighter or darker than that, then it's Tahor. It means, Mezeg means diluted wine, which is one of the shades of red. Mezeg, right. So the Gemara not a white wine, of course. No, of course not. Yain Asharoni, we said before. Okay. So the Gemara gives an example. Bakapara adihule. One time they brought Bakapara a sample of blood, and that they brought him a sample of blood, which was the color of mezeg. It was the color of the diluted wine. Adihule means they made it slightly lighter for him. So they made it a little bit lighter than it was originally. Like I guess they poured in a little extra water or whatever. The dachi, and then he declared it tahor. Amikule. And then they tried as a test, they took the same sample and made it a little darker, and also the dachi, and he also declared it tahor. Amar Rav Chanina, so Rav Chanina says, very impressed, Kama nafish gavra delibe kemishmate, how great is this person, Bakapara, that his heart is like his teaching, in other words, that he's able to exactly follow, not just the theoretical thing that he said, omuk mikan and dey mikan, but that he's actually able to tell it. So there's another example of somebody who was able to tell these fine differences and be able to declare it tome or tahor on that basis. Next, we said in the Mishnah, Keren Karkum, the next shade of red was like the Keren of Karkum. The Karkum, we said, is the name of a type of flower. It's called crocus in English, from which they get a saffron. They get a spice called saffron out of it. Rashi explained on the Mishnah that Keren means like the corner of a garden where Karkum is planted. Other Mephoshim explain it means the color of Karkum. So, Tana, we learn in a Braisa, Lach Velo Yavish. The karkum has to be fresh, not dry. If when it's dry, it's a slightly different color, and then it's not the same color that the Mishnah is describing. Now, we have like this Toni Choda. One Braisa says, Katachton Velotelion, you have to specifically compare against the lower leaves of the plant, not the upper leaves. V'tanya idach ke'elyon v'leketach. Then another one says, you have another braisa says, you have to check against the upper leaf, not the lower leaf, which seems to contradict each other so far. V'tanya idach ke'elyon v'chol sheken ketach. Then you have a third braisa says, you can check against the upper leaf, and certainly you can check against the lower leaf, which is even a stronger red. And a fourth one says the opposite. You can check against the lower leaf, and how much more so against the upper leaf. So what's going on over here? Amar Abaya. So Abaya says it's like this. Tlosa dori v'tlosa tarfen havyan. This plant grows, it's got three rows of leaves, one above the other, and each row is a tlosa dori, means three rows, or tlosa tarfen havyan, and each row has three leaves in it. So you have altogether nine leaves. You have like Tlosa dori means three rows. A tlosa tarfon havyan, and each row has three leaves in it. So it's arranged sort of like a tic-tac-toe board, let's say. It is on a stem. Obviously, they're arranged around the stem, but on each level of the stem, you have three leaves. They curl around the stem a little bit because that's the way plants grow. But whatever. Yeah, sort of. I guess it would be sort of like a dachshund. So the point is, in other words, so what do you do? So Abaya says, what all these braises mean, all these braises are trying to tell us the same thing. Nekoit dora mitziyah, take the middle row out of the three rows, not the top row, not the bottom, but take the middle row. V'tarpa mitziyasa, and within that row, take the middle leaf of that row, biyadcha, in your hand. That one is the best one to check against. So Rashi explains all of the leaves on that middle row would be kosher to check against because all of them have the same color, but the one in the middle is going to have the best example of the color. So now we understand all the various brises. When we say katachin v'lekeelion, we mean the lower one, meaning the middle one, which is lower than the top one. Don't use the top one. They have slightly different colors. The other one that said don't use the bottom one, that said use the top one, not the bottom one, meant the other way around, meant the middle, not the bottom one, and so on and so forth. And then, yeah. So that's what all these brises mean.
So the middle one,
the middle leaf of the middle row. So if you have it like a tic-tac-toe board, imagine, then you're talking about those. Come on, you ever played tic-tac-toe? How old? Yeah, X's and O's, whatever. Come on. So those are the middle one. So that would, right. Okay. So that
would find exposure to the sun, basically.
Yeah, I guess because that one is most exposed to the sun. I don't know. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And then, Rashi explains also when we say ke'elyon b'chol shekin ketachton, and ketachton v'lo shekin ke'elyon, we mean, in other words, the middle leaf of the middle row is the best one to check against, rather than the ones that are slightly above and below it. Okay. Fine. He also, l'chamed rababohu, when the Chachamim came to rababohu to talk about this, amalahu, he told them, here's another detail, b'gushayhu shaninu, not just that we said at the beginning that the kautum has to be fresh, but also the plant still has to be with its clod of dirt on it. Which means, in other words, it has to be attached to the ground, or at least maybe you just pulled it out of the ground and the dirt is still attached to the roots. Because otherwise it starts fading.
Mm-hmm.
So they have those from parts of the crocus flower, they make a spice called saffron, which is a very expensive spice. But
A crocus.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. Okay, then we said the next one was, the next one we said was like water with earth. So the Mishnah had mentioned that it means earth from Bikas Beis Kerem, which is a valley in the north of Eretz Yisrael, which had red dirt. So let's talk about more details. Tananabonon. Kamehme Adama, what do we mean like earth water? It means maybe Adama. Yeah, I guess that's a quote. Yeah, I guess that's what does it mean, kamehme adama?
Which one is it?
I don't know. Let's continue. Maybe adama shmeinim medikas beis kerem. What you do is you take fat, meaning fertile soil, from the valley of beis kerem, or meisifalei amayim, and you pour water over it, and that's the color that you're looking for, divrei Rav Meir. Rav Akiva, Hagoros Hagros chain is it sort of Yehuda Omer, midbikas Yudfas, not it should be from Bikas Beis Kerem, but rather it should be from the valley of Yudfas, another valley in the Galil. Rav Yossi Omer, midbikas Sichni, Rav Yossi says from the valley of Sichni, which is also in the Galil. Rav Shimon Omer, ach midbikas Ginosar v'chayotzehen, Rav Shimon says it doesn't have to be, it can also be, for example, from the valley of Ginosar, or any place like that that has this red dirt. Okay, what do you do? In any case, you take some of that dirt, and you put water over it. Tanya idach. Then we learn in another brisa. Uchmeme adama. Again, when we say like earth water, what do we mean? Maybe adama shmeina midbikat beis kerem means you take rich soil from the valley of Beis Kerem, or made to follow a mine to Klippas Hashom. You pour water over it to the point where the water is just covering the dirt, like the thickness of a peel of garlic. Meaning you just have the water needs to just be slightly a tiny bit higher than the dirt. So you put the dirt into a cup, let's say, and then you pour water over it until the water is just barely overflowing the dirt. From because they've Kerem. No. Here we're not talking about Kerem Taukum anymore. Here we're on to the next one. Kamehameha Adama. Red dirt. So you put some of it in a container. You pour water over it until just barely cover it, like the peel of garlic. The ain shir l'mayim, so there's no specific amount of water you need to use because mishum de ain shir l'offer, because there's no specific amount of dirt that you need. However much dirt you bring, you pour water over it until it's just a garlic peel's thickness over the. And the ain boat kenos and slulim, you don't check it when the water on top is clear. In other words, when you have you have to have the dirt is mixed with the water. El achurin, so you have to mix it up. And then you have then the whole mixture has a solid color, and then you check again.
It's a wet mud.
Right, basically. Sololu, wet clay, basically. Sololu, so if after a while the earth tends to sink, tends to get out of solution and sink to the ground, yeah. So now the water on top is clear. Chos of ochron, and then you have to mix it back up again. When you mix it up, you can't mix it up with the hand, but rather with a kavi. So now that last part is boilu. So now we have to clarify, what do we mean by that? Does it mean ein ochrin osin biyad ela bekli means the lo lumia biyade velachrinu, means don't think that you can put the dirt into your hand and then pour the water over it and mix it right there in your hand. Alba b'mona, but it, so it means you have to have it in a container, in a cup, let's say. But if it's in a container, ki ocher lebiyade, even if you mix it up with your hand, you put in your finger and start stirring it, shafir jami, then that would be fine. Does it mean that? Oy dilma, or maybe does it mean loylach, deloylach, kruna biyade, ela b'mona. Maybe it means you shouldn't be putting in your finger at all. You should be putting in a spoon or something else to stir it rather than your finger. So what does it mean? Toshma. So we have a braisa. So boitkan ain boitkan al b'kos. A braisa clarifies when you're checking, you can only check it in a cup. So obviously that clarifies that means it has to be in a cup. It can't possibly mean that it's in your hand.
Right.
But ba'adayin ki boilok, still that's not enough to answer the question. We still have to ask the dika b'kos. Okay, obviously the checking itself has to be in a cup. You put the dirt and the water into the cup and see what happens and see what color you get. Achir of amai. We still haven't clarified what you use to stir it. Can you use your finger or do you have to use a spoon? So that's teku. So that we don't know. I believe that
because it's
not your finger. I believe that amma machilun's b'mona, if I remember correctly, that amma machilun's b'mona means that you don't even use a spoon at all. You shake the container itself, and that when right. Because I guess the idea is you don't want to introduce any other foreign material into there that might affect the color. Okay. Fine. He also the kamei the rabba baragua.
When they try to repeat this today.
I don't know.
Where's
that? It's a valley in the north of Eretz Yisrael, but I mean, they know where the valley is now, but not necessarily is the dirt there exactly the same color as it is now. I mean, 2,000 years have passed. So, yeah. And also the Kamed, Rav Baravua, and when they...
Tekel
means? We're not sure.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Also the Kamed, Rav Baravua, when they came to Rav Baravua to discuss this halacha, Amalahu, he tells them there's another detail also, the Mekoyma Sheninu. This whole test that you can do with earth from Bikas Beis Kerem only works if you're actually there, because the earth doesn't quite have the same color when you take it someplace else. If you take it from Bikas Beis Kerem and take it someplace else, and as you see all the bubble or what have you, it won't necessarily have the same color anymore.
Because the color changes
you have the same things in it break down or whatever. Yeah, there's things in it oxidize or whatever. I don't know. I mean, think of it. How does it come to be reddish in the first place? In the stomach, because it has iron oxide or something in it. So that could rust or whatever. Okay. I mean, okay. Okay. So the Gemara says, Rav Chanina poli kurta de gaudishta ubodik bay. Rav Chanina, actually, instead of going through this whole thing where he would take some of this earth and mix it with water and so on and so forth, Rav Chanina would just break off a piece of earth from one of these places, ubodik bay, and he would check directly against it. Now, are you supposed to do that? So, layitale Rabbi Shmuel b'Rav Yosi ba'askara. So Rabbi Shmuel b'Rav Yosi cursed anybody else who would do such a thing with Astra. Astra is a throat disease. Usually they explain it to be something like diphtheria, the usual translation. But you have no business doing that. If you're going to check, you have to check like you have to check like the way the Gemara said to do it. Exactly. So that's the answer. That's the thing. Reb Chanina is smart enough that he's able to do it. He's able to mentally make the adjustment between the way it looks when it's just a piece of dirt versus the way it would look if it was mixed with water, and he's able to make that mental adjustment and check. Everybody else is not necessarily that smart, and if they're going to do it, they're going to end up coming to the wrong conclusion, and you can't do that. Okay. In this connection, the chokhmah of Rav Chanina, that he was so expert at being able to tell these various fine shades, these different fine differences of color, because of that, Rabbi Yochanan said, that itself caused me deloy echzi jama, that I don't look at blood to determine whether it's tameh or tahor. Because what would happen, mitamina, because for example, I'd be a Talmud by him, they'd bring a sample, he'd ask me, what do you say? I would say, this is Tomei, mitahar, and he would say, no, this one is tahar. Mitaharna, and then another one I would say is tahar, mitame, and he'd tell me it's Tomei. So in other words, I don't have the ability that he has to be able to tell the differences. Amar Rav Elazar, in the Sanusa, the Rav Chanina garmali de chazoi damar. Rav Elazar says just the opposite. He was also a Talmud of Rav Chanina, but he says Rav Chanina's humility is what brought it about that I do take it on myself to look at blood. How so? Who was very humble, and you would think, therefore, he would say on himself, I don't have the ability to do it, and yet, machis nafshe l'safet b'chazi, yet he's willing to take on himself the possibility of the suffix and check it, and he kind of developed an expertise in it. I know, should I not see it? If you have to, you have to. You're going to be a rav. You have to be able to take on this kind of thing.
If you can.
Okay. So Rabbi Yochanan is saying. So that's the thing. Rabbi Yochanan is saying, practically speaking, I saw that every time Rabbi Chanina tested me on it, I'm failing. So obviously, I don't have the ability. But Rabbi Elazar is saying, on the other hand, I thought to myself that even Rabbi Chanina was willing to take the chance, even though he was a very humble person, and you would think he would try to stay away from things of suffix. So much more that's a lesson for me that I should. Yeah. Okay. Rav Zera says another case. Shiva de Bavel garmali de lechazoi dama. The teva, the nature of Bavel, caused me. Rav Zera originally was from Bavel and later moved to Eretz Yisrael. That caused me de lechazoi dama. That I don't look at blood. I don't paskin on shilas involving colors of blood. Why? Damina, because I say to myself, the tiva lo yadina, I don't even know the teva, I don't even know the nature of people in Babel, like the exact way the body, people's bodies work in Babel, or the nature, in general, the nature of the climate or whatever in Babel, I don't know it. The dama yadina, should I expect to know the details about blood?
I mean, it's color.
That's the point, in other words, but you have to know the fine differences in color, especially if we... Because if you don't even know the teva, then you're especially actually one second on top one time. That's possible, but it also means, in other words, that I don't even understand the teva of how things work with people's bodies. So then, in that case, I'm not necessarily going to be able to know. Especially if we go according to the chinuch's explanation, that the reason for the differences in color that we're talking about in this whole sugya is because only the shades that we're talking about come from the womb, come from the uterus, and all the other ones do not. Then Rav Zera is saying, I don't even understand the medical science behind it to know what comes from where. Kiva means teva, means nature.
Okay, does it mean the nature of the people there?
It could mean the nature of the people. It could mean in general the nature of how. Yeah, he says kiva de bubble. He says the nature of bubble. So apparently he's saying.
The makam is changing the color of the...
It's possible, but whatever it is, he's saying, in other words, there's something about the way things work in Babel that even though I'm native to Babel, I don't clearly understand.
A good example, some people live in different places, their skin's darker and lighter. So you see the...
What's that?
Some people's skin changes in color.
Okay,
but nevertheless, the point... Fine, the blood could also maybe slightly, but whatever. The point is he's saying that there's certain details about the way things work here in Bavo with people's bodies or whatever that I don't understand, so I don't think that I'd do well with being able to tell about blood. So the question is, remember, the Bativa Talia Milsa, so you're telling me it depends on a knowledge of this kind of natural science. We see that Rabba knew Teva, He knew these natural things, and he still didn't know the details about blood.
He knew the nature of people.
He knew the nature of people, apparently, and he knew the medical terminology and whatever. But he was a tamatachon. But yeah, the law yada badama, and still he didn't know shades of blood either. So one doesn't go with the other. The answer is kol shekin to kamar. That's the point. Rab Zera is making a kavach chomer. Uma rabba the yada b'tiva, how madach rabba who knows the teva, even so like chaz adama, he wouldn't look at blood. He didn't consider himself capable of evaluating the different shades. Who doesn't even know the teva, I for sure can't consider myself gay. Okay, so that's it. So that's what he's saying. So I didn't. By the way, though, you have different gersoids over here. Is it Rava or is it Rava? Now we're going to have shortly a story involving Rava checking various samples of blood and being able to tell the difference. So Rashi learns that that was a special thing. That was Bederach Nes, but normally he wouldn't have been able to. But Tosfos over here says that no, Rava was in fact expert. We don't have to resort to Nissim. He was in fact expert at the differences. The Girsa we should have over here is indeed Rava. Okay.
Rava because
Rava and Rava are two different people.
No,
the Gemara, the story in the Gemara soon is going to imply that Rava was a great expert at this. Right. So if now we're saying that somebody was not a great expert, then it should have to, on the face of it, it should have to be Rava. But on the other hand, Rashi says, no, it's Rava in both places. What it is normally Rava was not an expert in it, but in the story that we're going to have soon, the Nes happened and he was able to. Okay. Fine. Okay. More on this. Okay. Ula ikwala Pumbedisa. Ula visited Pumbedisa. He was from Eretz Yisrael. He visited Babel. He visited Pumbedisa. Aisula kamei dama. They brought him a sample of blood, of dam nida. V'loi chazi, but he wouldn't look at it to see. He wouldn't look at it to see whether it's tamei or tari. He didn't want to pass them on it. V'loi chazi. He wouldn't look at it. Omar, because he said Umar Rabbi Lazar. Madach Rabbi Lazar, the Mora de Eretz Yisrael, he's the master of Eretz Yisrael. He's one of the greatest chachamim in Eretz Yisrael. In particular, Rashi says he's more expert than all the other chachamim in Eretz Yisrael in looking at blood. Even he, Kimikwa la'asra de Rabbi Yehuda, when he would visit the place where Rabbi Yehuda lived, which is namely Pumbedisa, the same place where I am now, loy chazi dama, he would not look at blood over there because of the covet of Rabbi Yehuda. He would say, if the Shtot Rav, if Rabbi Yehuda, who's the city Rav in Rosh Hashiva, it's his place to look at blood over here, it's not mine.
Okay.
So therefore, so if even Rabbi Lazar wouldn't do that, says Ula, I'm not Echsi, should I look at blood over here? It wouldn't be Derech Echsi. Okay, so my Korolei Demara de Eretz Yisrael, why do they call Rabbi Lazar the master of Eretz Yisrael? In what way was he more of a master than anybody else? So the case is, Dahi Iksa Da'isi Dhamma Lakame. Rebelazar Damur, Rebelazar Ben Kadar. Dahi Iksa, there was a certain woman, Da'isa Dhamma Lakame de Rebelazar. She brought a sample of blood, again, that she found on clothing or on a bidika cloth, whatever. She brought to Rebelazar. Have a Yosef Rav Ami Kame. Rav Ami was sitting as a Talmud in front of Rebelazar, in front of Rebelazar. So when they brought the sample, Arche, Rebelazar sniffed it. To be able to tell details about. Omar, and then he said, Hai dam chimudu. I can tell that this is blood of chimud. Blood of chimud, chimud means desire. You have a case where a woman has a desire, has a taiva, to have relations with her husband, and that causes her, as a result of the taiva, to have a flow of blood. So we're actually going to talk about, towards the end of the Masechta, we're going to talk about whether there's two ways of looking at it. One way is that in and of itself, dam chimud would be tahor. We have to consider it tamei misafik because there might be dam nida mixed in with it.
Anyway,
or the other way of looking at it is that it is in fact metameh. So nowadays, we do consider it to be metameh, and in fact, what we say is that when a woman, when
because we don't know.
Because we don't know, exactly. And we actually have the halacha that if a woman is proposed to, then you have to have, after she's proposed to get married, you have to wait at least 7 days for them to get married in case she might have had dam chimud at the time. Maybe being excited from it that she got it, that somebody wants to marry her, causes her, no, but even a bedikah, because it might just be a tiny drop and you might not notice it. But whatever, the point is, so we consider her tumim misafik for 7 days, and then, yeah. Okay. anyway, sort of, so again,
people look in there anyhow.
Right, right. Okay, so anyway, sort of Elazar again sniffs the sample, and he says it's dam chimud. So again, according to one lashon, it means she's outright tahor. According to the other lashon, it means, according to the other explanation, you would say, I mean, she might be tummy, because there might be dam nidah mixed with it, but yeah. Okay.
That's the miracle, because
it's... No, hold on. The miracle is going to be soon.
By sniffing Elazar, I said something.
Yeah, because Bapash, just different kinds of blood have slightly different smells. With that said, though, Marsha relates this to the fact that we have the famous thing that it says about Mashiach, Baharicha v'yirat Hashem, that he's going to have the ability to sniff a person, to smell a person, and see what level they're on in Avodah, so therefore sort of Elazar had a little bit of that also, as Marsha explained. Okay, anyway. Bosa did not...
Literally, he's not going to smell
Mashiach. Why not? No, well, why not?
He's going to evaluate.
Yeah, but it means, in other words, that he's going to have a sense of smell of that. So, like, if, nowadays, you have a person...
smell person's era.
Because there's
Hashem cannot.
Who says Hashem cannot? Where do you have that such a thing from?
Hashem doesn't
really?
Know.
Hashem doesn't... What do you mean? We don't say that Hashem doesn't know. How's it going? We say Hashem doesn't predetermine. Tzadik v'rosh aloi ka'oma, but Hashem knows. We said, yediyah loy machrach ha-sabachira. Fine, but Mashiach is going to be able to smell a person and see what averus they did or whatever. Okay. Anyway. Okay. Bosa did not.
We learned before.
Kakol b'day shemayim chutz miyas shemayim. Okay. Bosa did not. After this woman left, itpala Rab Ami. Rab Ami went and joined up with her and met up with her to ask her. Rab Elazar had said this is dam chimud. How do you come to have dam chimud? Amar le, and she tells him, yeah, baili hoya baderach. My husband was away on a trip. V'chimadziv, and I taka had chimud for him, and therefore Rab Elazar was right. So Rav Ami was just said, we can apply to Rav Elazar the pasuk, Soyd Hashem Nireyev, the secrets of Hashem are given over to those who fear him. Now Rav Elazar was able to tell that, even though he wouldn't have had any, well, that's the point, in other words. So that's why he was called Mora Da'arid Yisrael. He was the greatest expert in Dam that there was in Eretz Yisrael. He was also a Tzaddik, but in particular, also he had that expertise. No. Well, in other words, Soyd Hashem Nireyev implies Ruach HaKodesh, but it implies also that he had sharper senses to be able to tell these things. Another case, Ifra Hormiz, Ime de Shabur Malka. Ifra Hormiz was the mother of King Shabur. So King Shabur is the king of Persia and Babel and whatever, and during the times of Rava. There were actually two Shaburs. There was an earlier one in the times of Shmuel, and there's a later one in the times of Rava. The later one is the one we're talking about. His mother was named Ifra Hormiz. She's mentioned in a number of different places in Shas. Rashi says over here, Rashi, she was like, Ifra Hormiz, in a number of places, Rashi, including over here, Rashi explains the word Ifra means grace, and the word Hormiz means demon, means shading. The name Hormiz is the name of a particular shed. So therefore, Ifra Hormiz means like the beauty, like a devilish beauty, kind of. That was her name, anyway. So Rashi describes over here, she was a goita, but she was careful with the dinim of nidus, as if she was a Jewish woman. She was, Rashi says, on her kroivalis gayer. She was very close to becoming a yodas. She didn't actually take the step, but she was very, very friendly to Jews and very interested in Yiddishkeit. And Rashi brings that you actually have a gemara. We learned in Gemara in Zvachim that she even wanted to bring karbonis to Hashem. You have a whole story over there where she's allowed. Yeah, she being a goyter is allowed to. So you have a whole story over there where she sent a korban to Rava, and Rava arranged for a couple of goyish kids to go and build them as Gayach and bring the caravan, yeah. So because she's allowed to, yeah. So, okay, anyway. So this Ifra Hormiz, the mother of Shabur Malka, Shadra Dama L'Chameh de Rava. She one time sent a blood sample to Rava. Again, like Rashi says, she was careful with the dinim of Nidus. She wanted to know, according to your Jewish halacha, would I be Tomei or would I be Tahar? Have a Yosef Rabbi Vadya... Why not? You can tell her, yeah, according to our halacha, if you were a Jewish woman, you would be Tomei, or you would be Tahar, whatever. Have a Yosef Rabbi Vadya Kamei. Rabbi Vadya was sitting as a Talmud in front of Rav. Arche, he sniffed it. Who's the he? One possibility is it means it was Rav. According to Tosfos' explanation, it would mean Rav, because Rav was the one who was expert on blood, and therefore he sniffed it, like Rabbi Elazar did before. The Rashba says that actually it might mean Rabbi Vadya, because otherwise Rabbi Vadya is not really playing any role in the story, so why would it bother mentioning that he's sitting as a Talmud in front of Rava unless he actually plays a role? Okay, anyway. So he sniffed it, Omer Lo, and he says to Ifra Hormiz, Hai Dam Chimud, this is blood of Chimud, like we said before. So she was very impressed. Omra Le Livrei, or Livra actually, so she says to her son, the king, Tochazi Kamachakimi Yehudai, come look how smart the Jews are. you have to realize, I mean, he's the king. Obviously, you know, she wants her son to be friendly. She wants him to be on good terms with the Jews. And in fact, you know, historically, you find that he was big on the Persian religion, Zoroastrianism, it's called, or whatever. So therefore, so she wanted to make sure while she's still alive and while she still has an influence on him, make sure that he stays on the good side of the Jewish people.
So she was not so devilish.
Who said she was? Her name meant, if her home is meant a devilish beauty, doesn't mean that she was, doesn't mean she acted devilishly. That was her name. Anyway, okay. So yeah. Omrullah, so Shaber says, who says, I'm not so impressed, Dilma Kasuma Ma'aruba, you know, like a blind person can also find a chimney. If a person, you know, even a blind person can feel around and then get something to happen, Stan. Maybe it can't happen, you know, the luck of the draw. Rava said it was Dam Chimur, and he got lucky this time. So Hadar Shadra, the Shitin Mine Dama. So then she decided to test him out. She sent him 60 different samples of blood, Bakula Amrinu, and Rava was able to identify all of them. So here is... No, 60 different types of blood, like blood that came from different times of Nida or from different parts of the body or whatever, and he was able to identify correctly 60. Sometimes the Gemara uses 60 as just an indefinite large number. It doesn't mean Dafka 60, but whatever, a couple of dozen. Anyway, so here is where, so again, Rashi is saying that this was all B'derech Nes, because Rashi learns before that Rava was actually not such an expert on Mine Damim. Just that in order, the Eibishter stepped in over here in order that she should be able to have a good influence on her son. So according to Tosfos, you don't need to say that. According to Tosfos, you can say that Rava himself is in fact an expert, is in fact an expert on it. Okay.
More than Rabbi Elazar?
No, not certainly more than Rabbi Elazar, but Rabbi Elazar is an Eretz Yisrael, and Rava is an Eretz Yisrael. Different generations, I think. Okay. Hahu Bastra. Now, of those samples that Ifrahum is sent to Rava, the last one, Dam Kinim Haba, it was blood from lice. The Lo Yoda and Rava didn't realize that. He didn't realize. He's checking all the other ones. He's able to identify this one is from this creature, this one is from that part of the body, whatever. This particular one, he wasn't able to identify. What happened? Istaya Milsa, Hashem helped him out, Ashkocha Pratis, the Shodar Lo, he sent her as a present, Srikusa de Makta de Makatla Kalmi. Rava sent to the queen as a present a comb that kills lice. So like she took it to mean, oh, he figured it out. Amra, she says, look at this. Yehudoi b'tavni delivered yasvisu. You Jews sit in the innermost chambers of the heart. In other words, you're able to understand. You have all the chokhmah can be found by you. Amra of Yehuda. Meresha have a chazina dama. Rav Yehuda says, originally, I used to look at blood and paskin on questions of colors of blood. Kivin de Amrali ime de Yitzchak bri. But then the mother of my son Yitzchak told me as follows. Now, why is he calling her that instead of my wife? The Aruch Haner wants to say, on the basis of this and on the basis of a couple of other Gemaras, that Rabbi Yehuda divorced her. So therefore, she's not his wife anymore, so he can only call her the mother of my son. Okay, anyway.
Do we know that he divorced?
We don't know for sure, but the Aruch Haner brings between our Gemara and a couple of other Gemaras that may imply that he did. It's not certain. We don't, you know, it's not like we have biographies. It's not like we have detailed biographies of the Chachamim. But yeah. Okay, anyway. So the mother of my son Yitzchak said as follows. She said, "Hi, Kipsa Kamaisa. The first drop of blood that comes out of me, loy my sin in lohu kamei rabban. I never bring that to the Chachamim to ask whether it's a tameh or a tahor color. Mishum dizehima." Because she says, because that one is dirty. It's mixed up with various other things from the body, so not necessarily is it going to be the exact color. So once she told me that, says Rav Yehuda, loy chazina. Then I don't check blood after that, because you never know. Then you have the issue that, yes, she brings a sample which looks to her, but what if the first drop, if she had brought me the first drop, then I would have actually found it to me. So now I'm not certain, and therefore I don't want to take my chances. As opposed to, Tosfos says, what about the other Chachamim? Didn't take that into consideration. Either they weren't so machmir on themselves, or they were more expert than Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. Yeah. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda says, Ben Tmeya l'tahorah vade chazina. On the other hand, when it comes to determining, for example, you have the end of the Yemei Toihar after a boy or a girl, when, let's say, if she has a re'iyah of blood the next day, that vade chazina, that I have no problem looking with, because There, she will bring the whole sample. She's going to bring even the first drop because it's not going to be mizuham. It's not going to be dirty like that because she hasn't been having because up until now blood has been flowing anyway because it's during the Yemei Tzayar. So therefore, there's no problem of this zuham or this other stuff that might be mixed in with it. Okay. Another example: Yalta Aisa Dama Kamei Rav Abba Chana. Yalta, who was the wife of Rav Nachman. she brought a sample of blood to Rabbi Baba Chana, the Tamila, and Rabbi Baba Chana declared it Tomei. Hoder, Aisala, Kameh, Rabbi Yitzchak, Brede, Rabbi Hoder. Then she brought it to Rabbi Yitzchak, the son of Rabbi Hoder, the Dochila, and he declared it Tahar for her. Now, you're not allowed to do that. The Heche of it. Don't think the Gemara didn't realize that you can't do that. Dochi means Tahar. The Aramaic word for Tahar is Dochi, right. So the question is, how could you do that? V'hotanya, we learn in a braisa. Chacham shetime ein chaver asher latar. If one chacham declares something tame, another one is not allowed to declare it tar. And similarly, osir ein chaver asher latar. And if one chacham declares something osir, another one is not allowed to declare it mutar. So what's going on over here?
Okay, so between mutar and asher, I understand. But let's say one says it's mutar, and another says it's safek. Is that possible or not?
It's possible, maybe, but actually, I think you have a machloek. I think you have a machloek that's supposed to about whether you're supposed to do that. But whatever. Okay, let's learn the Gemara over here. Next. So the answer is like this: Meikra Tamuya have Matamila. What happened was like this. What happened was like this: when she brought it to Rabbi Yitzchok Breder Rabbi Yehuda, he did actually say that it's Tomei because of the covered of Rabbi Baba Chana. Yes, if Rabbi Baba Chana is going to say it's Tomei, even if I myself objectively might think it's Tahar, but you already asked one Rav and he told you it's Tomei, and
it's only covered.
That's because they're allowed to because they're colleagues. He's allowed to contradict on that basis. They're colleagues, but the point they're both from the same generation. But the point is that part of the halacha why a second Rav is not allowed to declare it Tomei after the first one Tahar after the first one declared it Tomei is out of covered for the first Rav. So what happened? So again, Rabbi Baba Chana said it was Tomei. So at first, when she brings it to Rabbi Yitzchak and tells him, of course, she tells him, you know, I previously brought this to Rabbi Baba Chana. She told him, yeah. So then originally he declared it Tomei as well, out of covered for Rabbi Baba Chana. But even to Omrale, but then Yalta says, I have to explain another detail. The kol yoyma have a madkili kihai gavna. Usually when I would bring a sample of this exact color to Rabbi Baba Chana, whether it was my own, whether it was somebody else's, usually when I would bring it to him, or my own, let's say, yeah. So if I would bring, usually when I brought such a thing to him, usually have a madkile kihai gavna, he would usually declare it tahor. But idnahu dechosh be'ene, this time he had an eye ache, and therefore maybe he wasn't seeing so clearly, and therefore he declared it, tahor. But because of that, dochilah, because of that, Rabbi Yitzchak Breder Yehuda had a basis to say that's tahor. So the question is, do we believe a woman when she says it was the exact shade? What if she doesn't know? She's not necessarily such an expert on the colors. And the answer is, indeed she is. Vaha Tanya, indeed
she says it's the exact shade.
Well, like this, she's saying that this time I'm bringing you a sample, which Rabbi Baba Chana said is Tomei. All the other times I brought him the exact same shade and he said it's Tahar. And Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yitzchak is saying, okay, in that case, I can say this one is Tahar as well. So, but how do we know that it's the exact same shade every time? The answer is ain, indeed. Vaha Tanya, and Vaha Tanya, and thus we learn in a braisa. Menes isha loymar, we believe a woman to say, kazetra rov, kazera isi v'ibadziv. I had a sample like that I saw a sample of blood like this, v'ibadziv, and I lost it. So Rashi says, what does she do? She has, for example, one bedikah cloth that she had used for a bedikah and then it got lost. What she can do is she can take another cloth of her own from somebody else or whatever, and if she recognizes that it's the same color, she can say to the Rav, I recognize it's the same color. So my own I lost, but tell me what the halacha is on this one, and that way I'll know the other one. And we trust her on that.
Yeah, but 1 second.
If you don't assure you, it's so hard. Even if I'm chacham, you have to have...
Okay, but apparently the Gemara is saying that
she did two bedikas.
No.
She did two.
Let's say it could be the second one could be her own. It could be from somebody else. Yeah, that's not Rashi. From another woman. She asked one of her friends, did you do a bedika? Apparently. Yeah. So it comes out the same shade, sure. Okay. So now we have to ask the question, what about if she says, can one woman say to another one, can one woman rely on another one in that kind of thing and say that if Rachel says, for example, I had a Shiloh with this exact color, as you, Leah, have, so the Rav said to me, Rachel, that it's okay, so therefore it's good enough for you, Leah, also, would that be mutter? Toshma, well, let's prove from the Braisa. Nemenes Ishalima Kazeri Yisivi Ibadziv. We said we trust her to say I had the exact same color and I lost it. So wouldn't it be the same thing over here? We see that she knows the exact colors. The answer is shiny hosam de lesa lakamo. Yeah, but the difference is over there we don't have it in front of us. Over here we have it in front of us. So why should Leah not go to the Rav herself? It's one thing when Rachel had when Rachel herself had a bedikah cloth that she lost. Fine, we can trust her to say that she knows the color that was on it because we have no choice. It's lost. But now, instead of Leah relying on Rachel, who in turn is relying on the Rav, why shouldn't Leah just go ask the Rav directly? So not necessarily a proof. Toshma, the Yalta Aita Dama Lakame, the Rabba Baba Chana, come, we can prove from the story of Yalta. We just said that she brought blood to Rabba Baba Chana, the Tamila, and he declared it Tame, Lakame, the Rabbi Yisachbere, the Rabbi Yehuda, the Dachila. Then she brought the same sample to Rabbi Yisachbere, the Rabbi Yehuda, and he declared it Tamer. And we asked the Hecha of the Dachi, we said, how could Rabbi Yisachbere do that? And we explained, what was the situation? Tamuya Havam Tamila. Originally, Rabbi Yisachbere was going to say it's Tame. Given to Omrele, but then Yalta explained to Kol Yom Madki Loki Hai Gavna that all the time up until now, Rabbi Baba Chana has always declared this particular shade to her. And just this time he had an eye ache, so he couldn't see clearly. Hodor Dachila, and Rabbi Yitzchak then was Metaharik for her, declared it to her for Alma Mehemnala. So therefore we see that we do believe her to say that we can compare one to another. So therefore, by the same token, we should believe Rachel to be able to tell Leah that I had the exact same thing and the Rav was Matarik for me, and therefore yours is also Tarik. However, the Gemara says not necessarily because Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yehuda Agmari Samech. Because Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yehuda, you could say, essentially is relying on what he learned from his Rebbeim. Basically, again, he would say, objectively, this is definitely Tahor, no question about it. The only reason he was going to say Tomei originally is because of the Kavod of Rabbi Baba Chana. So therefore, in that kind of case, we don't care so much whether she got the exact shade right. Because after all, it's just a matter of covered for the first draw anyway. So even if we didn't have what to compare against, eventually, in principle, Rabbi Yitzchak could have declared it to her, were it not for the fact that out of the covered for Rabbi Baba Chana. So not necessarily does that prove that when you have Rachel saying a certain shade and telling Leah, you have the same thing, therefore it should be to her, not necessarily would that work.
Playing around with it's either need or not, it's serious stuff, you know.
That's the point. So therefore, the Gemara has left the question open, and therefore we can't do that.
But 1 second, you're saying you can rely, you must respect the color of a rock. Like you said, at the end of the day, if she's coming, you say it's Tahar.
No, obviously, if he said inappropriately that it's Tahar, then yeah, you can say it's Tameh, because then otherwise...
But it has to do,
because even if she would really be Tahar, but if the first Rav said it's Tameh, you have to respect that, and you can't just willy-nilly say, well, I'm going to ignore what that Rav said and say it's Tahar.
If he says it's Tahar, what do you do?
If the first Rav said it's Tahar.
And you think it's Tameh, will you go respect the cover?
Maybe not. I mean, the truth is that then you're not necessarily, I don't know, I'm not sure about that. Okay, whatever, that's not the case we're talking about. All right, let's continue.
That was the case.
Okay, that's not the case over here, is that he declared
it.
Okay, is there another case? I don't know about other cases. Okay. Another case, Rebbe Ra'a Dam B'Laila. Rebbe one time looked at a sample of blood at night, Vitimeh, and he declared it Tameh, because it was one of the shades in the Mishnah. Yeah, the Bashas. Raw Bayom, then he looked at it again during the daytime, Batihir, and he declared it Tahar. Himtin Shaachas, then he waited a little longer, Chazav, and he looked at it again, Chazav Batimeh, and he declared it Tomeh again. Omar, and he says, early Shema Ta'isi. What if I made a mistake? What do you mean, Shema Ta'isi? Vade Tahar. Obviously, he made a mistake. Titania, we learn in a blank. So, Lo Yom HaChacham, Ilu Hoya Lach, Hoya Vade Tomeh. The Chacham, when he's looking at blood, should not say, yeah, but if it was moist, then it would for sure be Tomeh. Ela Omar, Ein Lo Ladayan, the Dayan can only go according to what he sees right now. So what is Rebbe doing looking at it again and again anyway? Now, so what it is like this. Me'ikra achtekei b'tameh. What it is like this. Originally, when Rebbe first checked it by candlelight, he assumed that it was tameh. It wasn't just that it was because of the suffix. He looked at it. He was able to see it very clearly, and he was able to see that it's a color that is tameh. Given the chazal of safra de ishtini, then in the morning he saw that the color had changed. It was now lighter in color. Amale vade tahar haya. So he realizes, you know what? After all, it must have been tahar to begin with. Over lailo hu delay chazi shaper. It must have just been, I didn't see it so clearly in the nighttime. It must be the candle wasn't bright enough. Given the chazal ishtini, then he saw that it's actually getting lighter and lighter as time is going on. Omar, then he says, so actually what it is I was right the first time. tomehu, it is after all tome, omafaka, chudiko mafaka for ozo. It's just going, it's getting lighter, it's fading as time goes on, but I was right the first time. When I saw by candlelight that it was tome, I was right, it is in fact tome. I, this morning, I thought it was tar, because I didn't realize it's fading more and more. So in this connection, Rebbe bodik orane, Rebbe would check samples of blood by candlelight.
So it can fade with time?
Yeah.
So initially you say it's tar and then...
No, so then in that case, so once you realize that it can fade, you look at it the first time and then that's it. You don't look at it afterwards and say maybe it's tar because it changed color. Okay, so Rebbe bodik orane, Rebbe would check by candlelight. Rebbe Shmuel b'Rav Yosef bodik v'yema ma'unan, Rebbe Shmuel b'Rav Yosef actually would check dafka on a cloudy day, and he would stand between the pillars where of the Beis Medrash, where he would learn, even though it's not quite so bright over there. Amar of Ami Bashmul, Becholan, and Bodkinos, and Elaben Chamal Afel. All of these things, you can check them only between the sun and the shade. What does that mean? Rav Nachman, Amar Rabbi Bavua, Bechama Uvetzel Yodri. It means you put the sample in the sunlight, but then you shade it with your hand. You don't want it to be in bright sunlight, because that'll wash out the color, and then it won't look the right thing. So what you do is you put it in, you hold it in the sunlight, shade it with your hand, and then check it in that situation. And by the way, Poskim Achronim say you shouldn't be checking by fluorescent light, because fluorescent light also makes things, causes the colors to look different.